Hi, I'm NG Jones and you're listening to the podcast Sounds About Right, audiobooks to help us understand the world, the book club that's all about learning new things and challenging our perspectives. Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the podcast. I'm glad to have you here on this new journey with me, so much so that I want us to get straight to the meat and potatoes and talk about the audiobook that I listened to this week. So the first audiobook I'm going to be talking about is, drumroll please, The Power of Geography, 10 Maps That Reveal the Future of the World, and it's written by Tim Marshall. He's a British journalist, author and broadcaster specialising in foreign affairs and international diplomacy. And the book is the sequel to his New York Times and Sunday Times best-selling predecessor called Prisons of Geography, which showed how each country's choices are limited by their mountains, rivers, seas and concrete. If you haven't done, I do recommend you give this a read or listen. It's probably the reason why I was so eager to get my hands on this sequel, because it was just so good at breaking down geopolitics. And The Power of Geography is very concise, as it focuses on 10 specific regions in the world that are highlighted in the book as set to shape global politics in a new age of great power rivalry. These regions that the book focuses on are Australia, Iran, Saudi Arabia, the UK, Greece, Turkey, the Sahel, Ethiopia, Spain, and space. Yes, space. And each of these regions have their own chapter, and in the beginning of them, the tone is set as it goes into detail about their history, geographical landscape, and elaborates further on these things and how it's impacted it in being the nation or region it is today. And then depending on how it operates within the next couple of years, what role it can potentially play in the world in the future. And there are many chapters in the book which I can say stuck out to me, but one I found most particularly interesting was Greece, and how because of its geographical location, it's having to deal with the growing migrant crisis in Europe, and with most making their way into Europe by arriving on its shores via Greece, and how this has led to the EU essentially asking Greece to be Europe's border police, but without the funding. So the island of Samos, which is one of the over 6,000 islands under Greece's governance, is the main one being used by those desperate to get to Europe, with over 100,000 migrants and refugees having arrived on the island, which is only 13 kilometres wide and 44 kilometres long. And Tim Marshall points out, as a reminder of what brings home the issue of the migrant crisis and the dangerous journey many are making on inflatable boats to get to Europe, is the image of three-year-old Alan Kurdi, whose body was washed up on the shores near Bodrum in Turkey, and the picture was published on news feeds all over the world. And what alarms me about this is that despite this happening in 2015, it was only in March 2021 when the EU announced that it will give Greece funding of 5 new structures on the island of Lesbos, Samos, Chios, Kos and Leros to help with the issue. But it'll be interesting to see how this pans out over the next 18 months, or let's say a couple of years or so, because of Brexit and myself living in the UK. But this is not a Brexit podcast, so I will talk about another chapter in the book which I found very interesting. And this was the chapter on the Sahel region. And this is mainly because it's ambitious to discuss a region in Africa which encompasses 10 countries into one chapter, but I think it's definitely achieved. During the colonial era, a lot of the Sahel fell under French control and included nations known today such as Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Chad, Mauritania, Senegal, Guinea, Benin, and the Ivory Coast. And in this chapter, there's a poignant mention which really did stick out to me of the Voulet and Chenoine mission in 1898. And this was a French military expedition with the aim of conquering the Chad Basin and unifying all of the French African territories in West Africa. Let's just say the book mentions how this didn't exactly go to plan, and it resulted in atrocities experienced by those inhabitants, but which is mostly forgotten in France and pretty much unheard of in the outside world, but it's really only really remembered by those who still live within the Sahel region today. And to be quite frank, it is true. I was pretty curious about this, as I never heard of this before listening to it on the audiobook. So I did a couple of searches on the internet, and you really can't find much on it. And with the limited resources I did find on it, it was very harrowing, and no surprise why France are not keen to remind anybody about it, and it also rubbishes the claims that they were on a civilization mission during the era of colonialism. We've gone very, very deep there, but I'd definitely say that's probably one of the great things about the book. It just encourages you to do further research or further reading in terms of some things you may not have heard of or may not have known prior to actually giving it a listen. But I should also say that I also found interesting in the chapter the mention that Niger has a key strategic value to the US and France, as it sits in the middle of the Sahel and offers the opportunity to keep an eye on troubled North African nations and also on Boko Haram in Nigeria and various Islamist groups around the several countries on its borders. Despite being surrounded by countries which has come under Islamist terror, and it has so far managed to avoid having these issues and welcomes Western forces and is probably the most welcoming of the G5 West African countries in terms of regional cooperation with Western forces. And another interesting chapter which to me encompasses the book is Iran, which arguably was mentioned in the book because it's a country which is a key Middle Eastern power and rarely out of the news, and is so heavily defined by its geographic features, which is described as mountains which form a ring of crust around its borders. The mostly flat salt desert of its interior resembles the Nani Babari Iranian bread. I wish I was as creative as this when it came to describing mountains, but make no mistake, it's not mentioned for no reason, and the deserts make it very difficult for countries to invade, and it has a history of foreign soldiers not making it beyond its mountains. The book details just how difficult it is to invade the country through its Zagros Mountains, which is a few kilometers inland, and where the Zagros ends, the Iberia starts. And despite this though, Iran has in the past been susceptible to foreign threats such as from the Germans, Russians and the Ottomans. And before the World War and prior to the discovery of oil, the British ensured they had exclusive rights to get the oil out of the ground and sell it. So as a result of this, they established the Anglo Oil Company, which these days is known as the company which recorded revenues of $183.5 billion in 2020 BP. An interesting omission from this book is that there isn't a chapter dedicated to neither Russia or the USA. However, both countries do keep appearances by being mentioned in some capacity within different chapters of the book for different reasons, probably mostly in the chapter of space. And in the book it's mentioned, and I quote, that it appears that the world's most powerful nations will end up competing for space and its resources, bringing the temptation to either go it alone or do this with allies to ensure that they are on the winning side. This is encompassed by the Armistice Accords, which was signed on the 13th of October 2020 by the US, Japan, the UAE, Italy, the UK, Canada, Luxembourg and Australia. And all of the nations that signed have agreed to let one another know of their activities during their operations to land their first man or woman on the moon by 2024, which is planned as the first step before establishing moon bases by 2028. With these bases being the possible start to allow human expansion across the solar system, of course, neither Russia or China signed the accords. Both countries do, however, still have their own plans, and perhaps having their rivals, such as the US, having them to abide by a certain set of rules probably just didn't suit their style. And there's a quote from the book by the head of the Russian Space Agency, who said that going ahead without everyone agreeing is an invasion of the moon, which could turn into another Afghanistan or Iraq. Scary stuff. And it brings the thought that in order to avoid space becoming a reason for nations to go to war, then everybody needs to cooperate and at least try and sing kumbaya. And what heightens this competition even more is that space travel isn't just an ambition for powerful nations. Private businesses have also entered the race for the resources of the moon. Elon Musk, the billionaire CEO of SpaceX, has the ambition of flying humans to Mars within his lifetime. And there is also Jeff Bezos, the creator of Amazon, who has also stepped into the race with his company Blue Origin, with a vision, I quote, of a future where millions of people are living and working in space in order to preserve Earth for our children and grandchildren's children. We must go to space to tap its unlimited resources and energy. Wow. It's said that in the book that the untapped minerals expected to be found on the moon and meteorites such as titanium and precious metals will not only feed our appetite on Earth, but will allow us to build many space stations and lunar spaces that we like. The best thing to say about this is watch this space. But if you're not someone who's into geopolitics, I'm hoping that this specific episode has encouraged you to perhaps give this book a read or listen, because I did find it very interesting. There were many good takeaways from it. Like, something I noticed personally whilst listening to the audiobook was just that there is mention in a lot of the chapters of the politics, or, you know, between the ethnic groups within a country. So for instance, there's mention of the Australians with the Aboriginals, and the UK, Scottish and the English, and Ethiopia with the Tigrays and Amaras, and there's also Spain with the Basque country as well as the Catalonians, also in Iran as well, just the country being called Iran to represent the other ethnic groups within the country, because before that, that land was known as Persia, which represented the dominant ethnic group within the country, and just how much this impacts the power of geography too. But also that I really did enjoy listening to this book, and because of the purpose of this podcast, I did not go into this with prior expectations, even though I really did enjoy Prisoners of Geography, which was the first book that he'd put out within this type of series. And I came into this with an open mind, and I really did have some takeaways which I think I will do some further reading on, and will definitely have a couple of things to now mention within dinner parties. Funnily enough, I did look at a couple of reviews as well, and generally it has got reviews from people that geopolitics hadn't been something that I'd interested in them prior to, but they've listened to the book on a recommendation and turned out they really enjoyed it. Of course, if you had listened to the book as well, please let me know, what did you think? What did you learn? What did you find interesting? What is a takeaway from the book that you didn't know before? This is the Sounds About Right podcast, so let me know also if anything sounded about right to you. And that is all I have for you today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please do get in touch with me about your book recommendations, or tell me what part of this book you found interesting, if you'd already given it a read or listen, or whether this podcast has encouraged you to give it a read or listen. Please do let me know what your thoughts were about it. I feel as though us sharing and speaking about it helps the information circulate and stay with us for a lot longer, and creates even more personal relationships between ourselves and the books. So we'll be able to remember the valuable and incredible information which sounds about right. I have been your host, NG Jones, and I'll catch you on the next episode.